About 5% of users ignore the warnings and download malicious Trojan horse programs anyway. Lauren Weinstein with us. He has been involved with the development of the internet for decades. Lauren, what does this all mean?
Well, it means you have to be really, really careful, and unfortunately, being careful isn't so straightforward a task given the sophistication of some of these scams and phishes and various malware that's out there now.
How would we know? How would we know what's malicious? What isn't?
You know, outside of running, you know, there's programs you can run to try to protect against this. Not just Microsoft, but also Google's Chrome browser, the Firefox browser, the Apple browsers. They all have mechanisms that try to determine this. Also, you know, whether you're about to download malware. And keep in mind, that's not the only kind of malware there is. There's also the kind that comes in email, the various phishes. But none of them are foolproof. So ultimately, what you have to do is kind of base it on, do you trust the site you're dealing with? Even if it's a brand new program, if you trust the source, the company or even the individual, then it's usually a pretty good bet. It's never going to be 100%. I think it would be a mistake to depend on these automated systems to always make the right call. You have to use your own judgment, too.
So what's your best recommendation for us?
Trust the sites you know, trust the people you know, and when you're dealing with an unknown site, an unknown program, it might be best before you download and run it to check with other people, see whether it has a reputation, a good reputation, and then go from there. And, you know, obviously run the antivirus software, run the protection software, but don't assume that it's going to always protect you 100%.
Great. Thanks for the advice, Lauren. For some, May 21st is Judgment Day. For others, it's party time. But a Christian movement has spread the word around the globe that Jesus Christ will return to earth on Saturday to gather the faithful into heaven, that we will also have a devastating earthquake on this planet. That's on May 21st. Then they say that those who are left behind will all perish when the planet falls apart on October 21st. Friday night on Coast to Coast AM, we'll check in on this event for a few hours before open lines. It's getting close. We'll see. Pilots flying at night near Las Vegas over the next week may have to navigate the old-fashioned way without GPS. The Federal Aviation Administration is warning that navigation systems based on GPS technology may be unreliable or unavailable in about a 350-mile radius that includes Las Vegas. Light Squared, which is a Virginia company, plans to deploy an ultra-fast nationwide wireless broadband network of 40,000 transmitters and cell towers. They are field testing its equipment in Nevada, southeast of Las Vegas. The tests are part of a deal that Light Squared worked out with the Federal Communications Commission. The company has rights to frequencies located very close in the electromagnetic spectrum to those used for GPS. But the company's signals will be stronger than GPS signals, raising concern that they'll jam GPS in the vicinity of the Light Squared transmitters. Why the FAA gave them permission to do this is beyond me. Air Force One, with President Barack Obama aboard, made an aborted landing at the Windsor Locks, Connecticut airport before trying again and landing safely. The White House and the FAA said it was a routine maneuver where the pilot was in process of landing, but because of weather conditions, decided to circle the runway before trying again and landing safely. A White House spokesperson says there was never any risk to the president. President Obama's 2012 presidential campaign started selling Made in the USA t-shirts featuring images of both President Obama and the long-form birth certificate he released copies of last month. Wear your support for this campaign with an official Made in the USA t-shirt on his website. Donate $25 or more, and we'll send you your limited edition shirt. It went on to say, my, oh, my, oh, my, I woke up this morning and went to Matt Drudd's website, as I do so often, and I started reading a story there from Esquire that said, in a stunning development, one day after the release of Where's the Birth Certificate, the case that Barack Obama is not eligible to be president, by Jerome Corsi, WorldNet Daily Editor and Chief Executive Officer Joseph Farise announced plans to recall and pulp the entire 200,000 first printing run of the book. as well as announcing an offer to refund the purchase price to anyone who has already bought either a hard copy or electronic download of the book. I looked at this story and I said, wow. But you know what? It's a spoof. It's not real. Esquire was only fooling. I wonder how many people know about that. So we thought we'd bring in Jerome Corsi, author of this book, of course. Where's the birth certificate? Jerry, I'm not a lawyer, but you guys might have some legal grounds here on this one.
Well, I think, George, we probably are going to sue. I mean, first of all, there's no basis to the story. It's not true. When Esquire published that, they did not say it was satire. There was nothing on the article that indicated it was a spoof. And we were inundated with emails and phone calls at World Net Daily. My email account went crazy with people saying, was the book recalled? The book has not been recalled. The book is on the shelves. It's doing quite well. It's advancing very strong on Amazon.com. It was number one initially when Drudge first announced the book, and it's advancing very rapidly tonight through the rankings of Amazon. The book is on sale. The Esquire article later in the day was identified as a spoof, and I think World Net Daily is in the process of contacting lawyers and preparing a legal suit against Esquire, which never said it was a spoof when the article was initially published.
Well, you know, I'm reading the article on Esquire earlier today, and I'm going, I know Jerry Corsi. I know he checks his facts. There's no way Joe Farah, whom I also know, is going to yank that book. And then I finally figured out this thing is not real. The story's not real. It was unbelievable. So, you know, I'm glad you're taking matters into your own hands. Also, what's your reaction to the Obama campaign selling T-shirts with his long-form birth certificate on the back?
Well, I guess this book has really rattled the Obama administration. I mean, where's the birth certificate? Argues that the long-form birth certificate released by President Obama on April 27th is a forgery. I continue to believe and argue in the book that President Obama, provide the evidence, was not born in Hawaii. I increasingly believe and have the evidence that Barack Obama was born in Kenya. There's 125 exhibits in this book, George. In the middle of the book, in a glossy section, I publish the documentary evidence behind the argument of the book so readers can look at it for themselves. It's fully documented. The book is not withdrawn from the shelves. If the White House is scared, instead of doing mugs and T-shirts, why doesn't the White House provide the original paper copy of this long-form birth certificate for forensic analysis? That might make an impression other than selling mugs and T-shirts.
Is there anybody from the president's campaign, Jerry, who would come on this program with you and debate you over the merits of your investigation?
Well, George, I think that's a great idea. It might be good if your staff called. I'm not sure the White House is taking my calls these days with a book out. I'd be happy to inquire. World Net Daily would be happy to make the offer. I'd be delighted to come onto your show with anyone the White House would like to present to be with me on the show to counter my arguments. I'm happy to debate this book in any forum, anytime, any day, anywhere.
Okay, and the important thing, thanks, Jerry, the Esquire story is a spoof. The book is still on sale. It questions the president's eligibility. You can read the book, make your own decisions, decide what you're going to want. Right now, the nation seems to be split on this. It's a story that, of course, just doesn't seem to go away yet. And as we get closer to the campaign, I'm sure it will continue to crop up. But Jerry stands by his work, stands by his story. And as he just said, there could be some legal action against Esquire for the spoof. Do you drink coffee? I don't. Maybe I should, because coffee has been linked to a reduced risk of dying from prostate cancer in a study of nearly 50,000 men in the United States. Those who drank six or more cups a day were found to be 20% less likely to develop any form of this disease, which is the most common cancer in men. They're also 60% less likely to develop an aggressive form, which can spread to other parts of the body. A bizarre story coming out of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. They're posting a story that all of us should be aware and prepare for zombie apocalypse. To be careful for flesh-eating zombies. They're not kidding. Except what they're trying to do is to get us convinced to be prepared in the event of an emergency. They're simply saying what we've been saying for years, just have some water and some food and a portable radio and all these things in the event of an emergency. Why they would come out and say it like this is beyond me. By the way, one of our highlight stories at coasttocoastam.com, free floating planets found with no star in sight. They're just floating around out there. No orbit. Japanese astronomers claim to have found free floating planets. They're writing in Nature that so far they found 10 Jupiter-sized objects, which they could not connect to any solar system. They're just out there. By the way, next hour we'll talk about this and other things about what's going on in the heavens with David Talbot and Wallace Thornhill on Coast to Coast. Up next, Greg Hunter. Yep, he's the USA watchdog man. We're going to talk with him about world events on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. This hour we're going to talk about events that are happening all around this planet. Most of them affect you. Greg Hunter has been an investigative correspondent for nearly 9 years. He's worked for ABC News, Good Morning America for nearly 6 years. He's a hard-hitting reporter, and he is out to get the truth, as we all are. Welcome back, my friend. How are you, Greg?
Good to be here, George. How are you doing?
Good. What's first on your plate? What's on your agenda today? I've been reading your website lately.
Well, on my website is today's article, which went over really well, and that is the idea of a gold standard has always been snickered at. And this is a great mass audience appeal because a gold standard affects every dollar people have. It affects everything. Backing the U.S. dollar by gold as it was in 1971, at least internationally, and then back in the early 30s, up until they stopped, you know, backing the dollar, or they backed it in the early 30s. Also, but until 1971, international debts were all settled in gold by big countries. And the dollar was backed, even though they cut the gold backing from $20 an ounce, it was a $20 gold piece, to $35 an ounce, the dollar was always backed by gold. And now people like Steve Forbes are talking about a gold standard. Now, Steve Forbes is not a kook. He is a well-connected media mogul that, in my mind, when he brings up the fact that they're talking about a gold standard, that means in his circles, the wealthy, the connected, they're also talking about the currency.
Mm-hmm.
People with a lot of money are concerned about evaporating. And he's not the only one. People like Jim Rickards at Omnis Incorporated, he also says that we could have a gold standard within 5 years. And the reason why is because they're printing all this money. I mean, they just, Tim Geithner just asked, suggested that we raise the debt ceiling. I haven't settled that yet. But, you know, a couple of $1 trillion in less than 2 years, just to cover the next 2 years to get to the elections. And we're going the wrong way. And we're already seeing, and this is the thing I did before, we're already seeing double-digit inflation in the real, if you did the numbers the way they were done in 1980. It's about 10.7% according to John Williams. And John Williams says, hey, in the next 3 months, even with the government's massaged, gimmicked up numbers, you know, where they said last year, oh, inflation was only 1.2%, even in their numbers, that we could see double-digit inflation in the next 3 to 4 months.
What do you see as the mood out there, Greg, among Americans? How are they reacting to all this? I mean, some of the restaurateurs, for example, I talk to say that their weekends seem to be busy. I think people are going there as a diversion. What do you think?
I think anybody who is taking the red pill, who is seeking out things like your show, for example, or other things on the internet. The internet and sites like mine and many others, people know that they're not getting the full story. They're getting the Arnold Schwarzenegger story. You know, they're getting the story of the IMF chief with the you know, the tawdry mm-hmm. thing with the alleged with sexual assault. That's not what's facing most Americans. That doesn't really affect what happens to Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver and their divorce or their
nobody divorce. Really
it really
cares.
Doesn't affect anybody.
No.
Something like inflation and rising oil prices and a gold standard. And incidentally, if we were going to be put on a gold standard, according to Jim Rickards and other people, gold's going to be much, much higher. On the low end, according to Jim Rickards, it could be $3,000 an ounce. On the high end, it could be over $30,000 an ounce.
Oh, my gosh.
And the reason why I say that is because there's many ways to do a gold standard. Is it 100% backed? Is it 40% backed? Is it backed by gold, silver, oil, crops? Are we talking about just the United States? Are we talking about the United States and China? Are we talking about the entire world? Are we talking about China, United States, Europe? You know, depending on how you configure a gold standard, the price of gold could be between $30,000 and $3,000 on the low end, $30,000 or more on the high end. Rickards thinks it'll be $6,000 to $7,000, but he says, "Hey, you know, it could be higher."
Yeah,
gold is going to go up no matter what. Gold is going to go up, and I think when I first got on your show, I think gold was about $900 an ounce.
Yeah, we're our folks at the Lear Capital, they're saying $2,000 an ounce, easy.
This year, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they could be right now. Gold, like every other market, silver. You know, big banks have been sued over manipulation of silver. There've been allegations of manipulation. I think every market is in some way manipulated, but still, manipulation can't stop the overarching trend. And the overarching trend is we're looking at another $1 trillion a year, every year, for a bump in the debt ceiling, according to people like Bill Gross at the world's largest bond fund, PIMCO, and they no longer hold treasuries or hold much of them. Now, the world's largest bond fund is not holding the world's most liquid, supposedly the most liquid prized asset. You know something's wrong, and people are so smug about the United States' position in the world. Yes, we won World War II. Yes, we have the best military in the world, but we get the privilege of printing money for oil.
Yeah.
The rest of the world is not going to allow us to print money like candy wrappers and toilet paper. Oh, that's giving Charmin a bad name. But they're not going to allow us to print money forever and keep taking our debt ceiling up and printing more money. That's just not going to go on forever. Even the post office now is saying, hey, they can't pay their retiree benefits. They're another $8 billion in the hole. Why they deliver mail on the Saturday on a Saturday, I'll never know.
Well, you know what? I agree with that. But, you know, it's like you lend money to a friend, Greg, once, maybe twice. After he comes back the third time, you got to tell him no.
They need to do some cuts. They need to do... the first thing I would cut is Saturday delivery. I would leave the post offices open. So if you want to mail a package... that's a easy way to make money. Only you need to staff each post office.
Have one person there who empties out the mailboxes.
Yeah, or if they're delivering a bunch of packages, they're bringing in money. Great, fantastic. But the trucks, the fuel, the overtime, the double time, Saturday delivery, forget it.
Yeah, no.
Anyway,
that's
one of many problems that the country is facing. We have some severe problems. Financial problems, and they aren't for the grandkids. Everybody talks about, well, we're saddling our grandkids. Oh, forget that. That's 80s and 90s talk.
What about
the
us?
Grandkids, your kids. It's coming now. It's coming.
It's right here.
When people like Jim Grant and Jim Rickards, who I think is the insider's insider, he was in the middle of long-term capital management, the very first implosion in 1998 because of Russian bonds. And people like Steve Forbes, who ran for president, Steve Forbes isn't going to go out and be quoted in a forum saying, I think we're going to have a gold standard in 5 years. Steve Forbes is not a kook. He's a connected, bright guy and knows when he's talking in front of the cameras and knows what he's having to say and knows what he's saying. So that these are all warning signs of you have to have a gold standard to back the dollar. Something's wrong. We're seeing more and more inflation coming up. More and more, and it's accelerating, and the inflation is accelerating at a time when the economy is decelerating.
Greg, I want to talk with you about oil and OPEC and what's going on there, because it could be some huge stories coming there. And we'll take phone calls with Greg Hunter. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. We're with Greg Hunter, USAWatchdog.com. We'll take your calls in just a second. Greg, the president of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, has dumped his oil minister and has named himself the acting oil minister, which could also put him in position to run OPEC. What the heck is this all about?
Well, this is trouble. When you take a look at OPEC, they have a revolving presidency. And so now Iran is going to be chairing the presidency. And that's in direct conflict with Saudi Arabia. Iran is the Shia sect of Muslims. Saudi Arabia is the Sunni sect of Muslims. That's like the Catholics and the Protestants, the Hatfields and McCoys. So right now, Saudi Arabia is increasing production to make up for the 2% loss, which doesn't sound like a lot, but the world oil supplies are really tight in terms of production, in terms of consumption and production. And when you start taking out a couple of percent here, and an earthquake in Japan, and then you have possibility of fighting still continuing in Egypt, protesters tried to enter Israel from three borders recently. Syria is shooting people in the streets. Yemen is still a big fat mess. Bahrain's been had a lot of trouble, although recently it's been settled down. Things aren't going. We are about a crisis away of a shutdown of the Suez Canal or the Gate of Tears or, something like that. So when you put in that Saudi Arabia, who's acting basically unilaterally, acting alone and increasing its production quotas to make up for the lost oil in
Libya.
And then you have Iran that may come in and sway other people to say, hey, you know, we want oil to stay over $100 a barrel. Matter of fact, we'd like to have $120 a barrel or $130 a barrel. And this gets all back around to the United States printing money. All oil is priced in dollars. And the world notices that we're going to raise our debt ceiling another trillion this year, another $2 trillion over the next less than 2 years. And they're not happy about that. They're not happy about them depreciating the value of the dollar, and it's obviously being depreciated. That is for sure. That's what they want to do. It. They just don't want what the government wants. In my mind, is they don't want the dollar to go into free fall, and it could. And that's when you have a situation where John Williams says we could have hyperinflation happen in a very short time. Right now, we have increasing, accelerating inflation and a decreasing economy. Now, so basically, they want to get paid in real money. They want to get paid in money that will hold its value. And our money is obviously, if you pay them, you know, one day and gasoline is X and weed is Y, and then, you know, 2 months later, gasoline's higher and wheat is higher and beans are all the stuff they have to spend money on, they're not happy about getting paid in dollars. So the long and short of it is that a lot of people in OPEC, they want more money for their oil.
Yep,
and they don't want the United States printing money.
By the way,
we protect Saudi Arabia.
IMF chief has just resigned, by the way. Just called it quits. He's resigning because of the scandal and the charges against him. So there he goes. Let's go to Mike in Eugene, Oregon. Get you started. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, George. Hey, Greg. I just wanted you to give more details on that five-year plan as far as being backed by gold. It seems incredulous to me because, like you said, the value of gold per ounce would have to go up to 20 or 30,000, considering we have $3 trillion in debt owed to countries around the world.
Well, it depends on how far do you back it. Do you back it by 40%? Is it part of a component?
It's not going to be one for one, I don't think. Is it?
I don't think. Well, we have $7 trillion that's held outside the country. Is it all dollars? Is it dollars and yuan? Is it dollars, yuan, and is that going to be a whole world thing? Is it just going to be the United States? Is it going to also be, they're also having currency problems in, Europe, the euro. You know, you have Greece is probably is talking about the rumor is they're going to leave and they're going to have their own currency again. They're going to leave the European Union. There's big problems in Spain, Portugal. Iceland told everybody that, hey, you know what? We're not going to pay you back. We're going to pay you back a dollar a week or whatever. So Iceland, there's other countries saying, hey, you know, why don't we just default and let the bankers take a haircut instead of us basically having all this, all these sacrifices and cutbacks to just make sure that we pay the banks, that did all this reckless stuff. So that's where we're, and we're getting that way here in America. I mean, we're getting to the point where there's lots of cutbacks, and already the Fed's told the states, we're not going to bail you out. They keep bailing out their banking buddies, but they don't bail out the states. which are way underwater. Many of them, 40, I think, are way having serious budget problems. States like Illinois and Florida and California and New Jersey are having super huge budget problems.
Oh, sure, they sure are.
The things aren't looking good.
You know, I can't believe we're almost halfway into 2011 already. And
I just want to answer one thing for your guy. They don't know exactly how it's going to be done, either. And this is what Jim Rickards was talking about.
If it's even going to be done, right?
No, they think it. Both Forbes and Rickards think it'll be done, and James Grant, who does a newsletter as well, who also predicted things were going to go sour a few years before it happened. He was well out in front of the curve, and they all think that we'll be forced into a chaotic event where people will just shun the dollar completely, and we'll have to take our, we're a superpower. We're a superpower in nukes and military, but we're also a superpower in gold. We have 8,000 tons of gold. And now, no matter how you do a gold standard, if people like Steve Forbes and Jim Rickards and Jim Grant and others are saying we're going to probably back this by gold, we're not going to go to another fiat currency. That's not going to happen. We're not going to go to have SDR, strategic drawing rights. That's one fiat to another. You'll have to back currencies with a basket of goods. Maybe there's going to be a soft commodity, a grain component. Maybe there's going to be silver. But there's going to be a backing to our currency. And one thing's for sure, gold's going higher.
Will we need a Federal Reserve if we back this?
No, we do not. As a matter of fact, listen, here's what we do. This is the biggest scam in history. We give the Federal Reserve treasuries, and it pays interest, and they print Federal Reserve notes.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we need to give the Federal Reserve treasury? Why don't we just produce dollars like we did before the Federal Reserve?
Make our own. We don't need the Fed.
We would save trillions in interest every year to the Federal Reserve.
Yep.
Trillions.
That's how they make all their money.
They make tons of money in the Federal Reserve. This is why, and the answer to no one. You can't even audit the Federal Reserve. They fought that. We were going to have an audit of the Federal Reserve, and they had 19 people in the House. And
that was Ron Paul's legislation, wasn't it?
And they turned 100 people at the last minute. So we don't need the Federal Reserve. We did fine for 100 and something years without it till 1913. And, the Federal Reserve's whole game is when you look at for example, gold, and you say, hey, gold was $850 an ounce in 1980. Well, in order to equal $850 worth of buying power now, the way inflation was done in 1980 by the BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, you'd have to have an $8,300 gold price. If you take a look at silver in 1980, and you do inflation the way it was done in 1980, all the way up to today, then you'd have to have $485, is according to John Williams, $485 silver price to equal $49.45. That was a high price of silver.
Jeez.
Now let's go backwards. Let's take $1,500, okay? And let's go backwards in time to go back in time to reverse that price. So if $850 is worth $8,000 today, so what is $1,500 really back if you go backwards in time? Is it really about $100 an ounce?
Yeah, maybe a little less.
And if you take a look at silver at $49 an ounce, well, right now it's $35. Well, it's still not even what it was in 1980. And so what is that, $4 silver? You have to take a look, not just at its nominal value, but it's the Federal Reserve clearly admits it targets a 2% inflation rate. Now, it also pays academia to come up with all kinds of gimmicks to make inflation look better than what it is, which I think is a slap in the face and a crime that we pay our government to basically manage our expectations of inflation and give us numbers that are nowhere near the real world and what it really costs to live.
I bet the Hunt family from Texas wishes they were around to do silver now, huh?
Oh, boy, they do, but the Hunt family, what's happening in the silver market in terms of manipulation and the allegations and lawsuits is nothing compared to what it is today.
Let's go to Des Moines, Iowa. Jeremy's up with us, first-time caller. Hi, Jeremy.
Yeah. Hello, George.
Hi.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hello. I'd like to make a comment about the Postal Service. I work for a postal contractor, and I agree that the post office does need to cut Saturday delivery, but Congress has to lift that ban so they can cut Saturday delivery. And I just want to know why the Congress won't lift that ban.
That's a good point. They need to save money somewhere. The post office should be run more like a business, but the post office, when they compete against somebody, they can pass a law that says, hey, listen, Federal Express, you can't send a package for any less than this because we're competing against you. And the post office can just, you know, write U.S. post office on a license plate, and they don't have to pay taxes. They don't have to do a lot of things. So they say they're independent, but they're really not. Anyway, the long and short of it is, if they want to borrow money, they go right to the Treasury. So the post office, is an endemic of what's going on in the entire country, is that the government doesn't really work well, and nobody's accountable. And when somebody gets into trouble, they just get a bailout. Nobody fails. And failure is a very good mechanism. If the banks were allowed to fail, you know, that right now HBO is coming up with Too Big to Fail. And I wrote a piece a year and a half ago saying the default option. Why did we have the default option? And now, in retrospect, finding out that the Federal Reserve spent $12.3 trillion bailing out everybody from Harley-Davidson to Toyota to foreign banks, all we had to protect was $6 trillion of depositors. That was everybody. That's your capital base. It would have been cheaper by, half. And we'd be on our way to come out of this. Oh, yeah, bondholders would have lost money. Jamie Dimon, Lloyd Blankfein, a lot of banks would have been taken to receivership. But we would have washed out that. We made it worse. And the thing is, when the bailouts are sucking up all this capital that can be used for productive assets. Instead, the Federal Reserve is buying mortgage-backed securities. They have almost $1 trillion of just mortgage-backed securities. Now, these were things that were supposed to be equal to a Treasury, risk-free, guaranteed reserve return. Why in the world they're not prosecuting these people for fraud? That's like me selling you a Treasury, and a year later going, oh, you know those U.S. Treasuries I sold you? Yeah, they're not worth anything. Sorry. Oh, they're only worth half of what they were. That's what mortgage-backed securities were. Mortgage-backed securities were, wow, you mean this is equal to a Treasury and it pays a couple of percent higher? Deal. Give it to me. That's unbelievable. And only one person's been prosecuted, somebody down in Florida.
Nobody else has been
prosecuted. This is an unbelievable crime.
Sure,
and nobody's being prosecuted for it. The Justice Department hasn't even indicted. Angelo Mozilla had to pay a $67 million fine. It's unbelievable.
Let's go to Houston. Michael's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Michael. Thanks.
Hey, how are you doing, guys?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to ask you, sir, did I understand you? You think gold should be at, or in like a few years, 3,000 to 6,000 or more? How can you put that in terms where we can understand that? Like, I believe you. Just how can you put it in terms where we can understand? And what do you think silver, when it's all said and done, will top out at? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
First of all, I don't do market timing calls, and people ask me for market timing calls all the time. But I will tell you the broad strokes. And the broad strokes are this. Like I said before, the high in 1980, $49.45 in 1980 was a lot more than it is today. $850 for gold. You could buy a good used car for $850 in 1980. A brand new truck. I was cleaning up my mother-in-law's barn in 1978. Now, that's only 2 years earlier than 1980. A Mac Daddy power steering, air conditioning, power windows, Ford F-150 truck was $3,800 in the Greensboro News and Record. So we have $7 trillion held abroad. We have more money creation than anybody in history. I think the United States will ultimately default. They'll default by the printing press. This will be the biggest default in human history.
When could that happen? Before the election?
I don't think it'll happen before the election. By hook and crook, they'll keep it going. But before the election, you're going to see some serious, serious inflation. Now, John Williams says that if everybody runs to the exit with the $7 trillion held outside the country, that you could see hyperinflation. If countries and people shun the dollar, and right now what's happening is it's a slow shunning of the dollar. This is the fifth month in a row that China has not bought treasuries, or not buy as much treasuries. They're reducing their treasuries.
They're weeding their way out.
And the, remember I told you that about the most predictable financial calamity in history, that the end of QE2, they're printing $75 billion a month. $75 billion. They're financing 70% of the U.S. government. They're just going to stop that in June 30th. If they do, the entire country will collapse.
Yeah.
There's no way they're going to stop that. So if they're going
to
stop that, then they're going to take $75 billion a month and say, hey, China, hey, India, hey, Mexico, hey, Russia, hey, Europe, we want you to buy $75 billion a month, and we want to do it at cut rates. We want to do it at a 10-year at 3.5%.
Not
gonna
happen.
You to buy it at 4%. We want cut rates for 10 years.
And you may never get it back, by the way.
Oh, that you won't get that. Listen, when you buy a bond, it is nothing more than you're buying an instrument that will pay you back in dollars.
Yeah.
So this is why Bill Gross doesn't buy U.S. Treasuries, because the currency he's going to get paid back in dollars isn't going to make up for the interest. Even the interest and what he makes is not going to make up for the inflation that you're going to have, the loss of buying power. That's why the world, this is a big, what's happening in the world is big. This isn't small. This isn't covert. This is overt. This is big. When you have the world's biggest bond fund, PIMCO, that is shunning U.S. treasuries, that's a problem, not with treasuries. It's a problem with the currency. Because what you're getting paid back in, all you do when you get a bond is you say, hey, I'm going to give you these dollars today, and you're going to pay me back more dollars in the future. But if the dollars you get paid back in the future don't equal inflation, then really you've gotten paid back less. So people are investing in oil, in grain, in gold, in silver. There's a former banker out here. I'm at my mom's house in Missouri. He's a former banker at a pretty well-known, very good bank. And you know what? He's not holding on to Federal Reserve notes. He's buying farm ground. He bought the farm 2 miles away from here.
That's a smart move.
That's what they're doing.
Yep. Smart move indeed. Whereabouts in Missouri are you?
I am in near St. Paul, Missouri.
St. Paul.
By O'Fallon.
Yep. Know it well. Let's do we have time for one more call? Nope, we probably don't. Greg, what's new with USA Watchdog?
I'm continuing to grow. I'm coming up with my 2-year mark. A month before last, I had 170,000 visitors. I had no venture capital. I just started. My wife and I and a excellent SEO marketer named Hanen Payson, who's out of Brooklyn. Basically started this site, and it's growing really nicely. I'm ranking high for terms.
Good for you.
The internet is about brands and words. And I'm ranking high for terms, and I'm growing, and things are going good.
You do a great job for us.
You know what I like to say? I like to say, hey, in 1949, when you had a first TV station, people thought, what are you doing with a TV station? There are no TVs out there. Hey, to me, this is like 1949, and I got a TV station. But it's coming.
It is.
It's coming.
It's no doubt. Greg, thanks so much. Greg Hunter, USAWatchdog.com. I like his perspective on things.